Welcome to North Valley Church's Sermon Podcast. We are doing a one-off sermon called Stratego, talking about God's strategy. If you'd like to find out more about North Valley Church, you can visit our website at nvcmd.org.
Morning. Again, thank you for being here today. So I've had so many interesting comments about the name Stratego. It's this board game from the 80s. I've never played it. I have no idea how the game works. I just really like the name Stratego. We're going to be talking about that kind of stuff, Stratego-ism thing stuff today. So when I was a kid growing up, I had a reasonably stable household. You know, My mom and dad, they were married. They stayed married all the way up. My mom's passed away. My dad's still alive, but they were married the whole time. Dad had a job. We had a stable household. You know, we had a place to live, had all that. However, my parents never took either my sister or I to the dentist. We never went to the dentist. Okay, but maybe that's not a big deal. But when I got older, I got married to Millie. Millie started saying, you know, maybe you should go to the dentist. You got some stuff going on that maybe somebody needs to go look at. All right, okay, well, we'll give it a try. So I'm like in my 30s, and I decide I'm going to go to the dentist for the first time in my life, right? And the dentist looks, okay, yeah, let's take a look at it. Whoa! Okay, we got some work to do here, bring in the heavy guns. So if any of y'all have been that dental hygiene stuff, deep cleaning and stuff like that, what a joy. That was all great. So we're going through the deep cleaning and getting the place where you can see white on my teeth again. And Millie's saying, you know what? You've got a couple of teeth that look crooked, right? It's like one's turned 90 degrees in the wrong way. And the dentist is like saying, we can get that looked at, blah, blah, blah. And the guy's like, you know, I do these Invisalign things, but you need bigger guns than me. You should go see an orthodontist. So I'm like, oh, okay. All right, we'll go do an orthodontist. Look through the phone book, go to an orthodontist. I went to the first orthodontist, and he, you know, did the examination, looked at my history, sat me down in the consultation room and said, here's the deal. The insurance isn't going to cover most of the work I'm going to need to do. You're not going to want to pay for it. End of discussion. We're not even going to talk about it. And he sent me home. I'm like, wow. Okay, fine. On you. I'll go to the next guy. Went to the next or the second orthodontist. He examined me. I didn't even make it to the consultation room. Nah, you should just go. I'm not going to work on your mouth. Just go. I'm like, oh my gosh, come on. What? I mean, how? Whatever. Come on. Third guy, the guy's retired, moved to Florida now, but a guy named Dr. Bowman went and sat with Dr. Bowman. You know, I'm there 30 something, and all these high school kids, do my braces, whatever. Okay, well, let's do this. So he does the exam and he does the consultation. And he says, okay, here's the deal. So I had teeth that were crooked, right? They're turned the wrong way. When I closed my mouth, my bottom teeth could hit the roof of my mouth. I thought everybody did that, right? I thought that's the way it worked. Apparently not. So Dr. Bowman sat me down. He said, here's the plan. You've got a long way to go before we get to where you want. And he had this little model, right? See how this works, Dan? The teeth clench here, blah, 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 in the little jaw model. He said, that's where we want to go. You're not there today. Here's what we're going to have to do. I'm going to put a bunch of braces on you, and like we're going to be having braces for like 9 months. We're going to do 9 months to try and do all the correction, and we're going to get stuff close. After we get it close, we're going to take all the bracing hardware off. Then I'm going to send you to an oral surgeon, and the oral surgeon is going to break your lower jaw. You know how your teeth hit the bottom of your jaw? He's going to break your lower jaw and extend it about a centimeter. Depending if it's plus or minus a centimeter, he may need to put permanent iron in there or something, whatever. So you're going to have to do that. When you heal from that, then you're going to come back here and you're going to put the bracing hardware back on, and we're going to fine tune your bite and get it so that you look like this. So that's the plan, Dan, for us to be able to get. He had the vision. He had a plan. This is what it's going to take. Dan, this is what we think your insurance is going to cost. This is what it's not going to cost. You need to go home and think about this. Right? Well, at the time, I was a software geek, test engineer, programmer. I was making a reasonable amount of money. So Millie and I decided, yeah, let's do this. And we entered the journey. It was a big journey, right? Obviously, there was a lot of work. Sometime, if you catch Millie for a couple minutes, she's probably telling Ben James right now. There's a cool story about Thanksgiving after the surgery and getting the wires taken off so I could open my mouth for Thanksgiving. That was kind of cool. So that's a fun story. But man, I was able to enter into that, all that work, because I found a guy who had a plan. He was able to put together a strategy that made sense. And was it a lot of work? Yeah. Was it a lot of pain and discomfort? Yeah. What did it cost a lot of money? Yeah. But you know what? I saw the vision. He had a clear plan. He explained to me what needed to be done, how we were going to get it done, and it all made sense. Based on his plan and strategy and presentation of the vision, I was like, all right, let's do that. It matters having a plan. Sometimes we get around to dreaming, but we never take that step to how do I get there? I want to have a degree in this, but then we fall short of what are the real steps, the strategy pieces, the steps I need to take to get from here to there. I want to own a home one day. You just can't go and buy a home. You got to save. You got to have a job. You got to build credit. Yada yada. You hear what I'm saying? To have the home, there's a plan and a strategy that you need to put in place to get from where you are to where you want to be. You're kidding me. I turned it off. How can you be kidding me? Oh. AccuWeather. There's winter. There's the possibility of wintry precipitation. Right. No kidding. Okay. Focus. You all have opportunities to think about plans and strategies, right? It's one thing to have a vision and a goal. I encourage that. But man, it is worthwhile investing into thinking about what's my plan? What's my strategy? And as we enter into those things, sometimes we need to take turns and modify the plan and strategy. But man, it becomes about not just getting there, but how do I get there as well? But God has a plan. Today's sermon might come as a shock, but God's got something in mind. He has a mission and a vision, and He's got a strategy and a plan on how to get there. Like, that's why I picked the name Stratego, okay? So finally the hint is given away. God has a strategy, right? The last few sermons that we did while we were covering Moses were sermons where we were covering lots of scripture, but I didn't read all of the scripture, and I encouraged you. Here's the passage that I'm just taking highlights to glean the truth that I wanted to talk about for that day. But go home and read the passage on your own as homework through the week. So today's sermon covers the Bible. I'm not going to read the whole thing today, but your homework assignment is to read the Bible this week. We're good? Yeah, everybody got that. Cool. All right. God has a mission and a vision. I want you to just think, sometimes I think we just need to settle on that. God has a mission and a vision, and He shares that with us in Revelation chapter 21. The Apostle John is speaking with an angel and seeing the new Jerusalem coming from heaven, where we're going to be dwelling with God for eternity. This is just a snippet of that description of the New Jerusalem. I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard the loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and He will dwell with them." Hang out there for a second. Take a look at some of the verbiage that's used there. That the New Jerusalem's coming down out of heaven as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. The Bible uses descriptive language of our relationship as the church to Jesus, as He's the groom and the church is the bride. Relationship. This is God's mission. This is His vision. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. I usually like to touch on this passage of Scripture when I'm doing funerals. Right? That there's this comfort that we have, that there's something cooler for us in the future when we won't have to deal with sin and death and mourning and crying. But I want to make sure we don't miss that this isn't just about setting something for us to make us feel good about the future. It does that. But God's telling us what the vision is. This is God's mission. I want to be in an eternal relationship with folks. Think about that. That's what He wants. That's what He's working to make happen. The vision is, I want to be able to hang with my folks. That is the mission, the provision. Now, you think it's going to happen accidentally? Right? The universe didn't get created by accident. We're not going to be able to have this by any accident. There's going to be a plan. God makes plans. Besides having a mission and a vision, think about it. He's moving in that direction. The Lord Almighty has sworn, surely as I have planned, so it will be. And as I have purposed, so it will happen. So I just want us to grasp, hey, God's got a mission and a vision. He makes plans. Things don't happen by accident. And He's been working, I want you to think about this, He's been working on this since before the beginning of time. This isn't made up along the way. This is God's mission from before the beginning. This is what it was He wanted. So I want us to be able just to step into what it is that God has been doing and look at it that, oh my gosh, all this is really working towards the plan and vision and mission that God has had since the beginning of time. Right, so if you're a leader and you read leadership books, there's this leadership adage that that people like to share, that when you're making a plan and you're working towards something, start with the end in mind. Right? As if I'm going to make some effort, I want to make sure that whatever it is I'm doing today is actually moving me in the direction that I want to go. That makes sense. Maybe humans came up with it, but it makes sense. God does that too. I want you to think about that. The vision is what we read, in Revelations 21. But since the beginning of time, since before that, God has been moving and acting with that as His target. Since the beginning, God created the universe. This is the obvious one, right? But if God wants to have relationship with people, what does He need to do? He needs to make them. Right? There were no people. There wasn't anything. So for God to have a relationship with people, He creates people. He created the universe for us to live. So He's moving in that, and His first step is He's going to create the universe. Part of having a relationship with people is He's going to give us free will. Right? He could have made us all robots and automatons so that when it came time for Him to say, okay, I'm here, I want you to have a relationship with me, we would have just automatically, yes, God, I follow You, that's good. But that's not really a relationship, is it? That's not really a relationship. So he gave us free will so that we can choose to be in that relationship or not, which adds power and depth and meaning for the relationships that where people choose to say, yeah, I want to be in a relationship with God. The consequence of giving us free will is that even for those of us who want to have that relationship with God, man, we don't always choose well. And the problem of sin enters in the world. That's free will happens so that we can have a meaningful relationship, but the consequence was sin came along with our free will. So even if we want God, we still don't always choose the right thing. But that didn't catch God by surprise. All the way in Genesis 3:15, God shares, right after Adam and Eve eat the apple, God shares, I got a plan. There's going to come somebody who's going to crush the head of the serpent. It's going to be somebody who's born of the woman. None of that caught God by surprise. God had a plan for our salvation because he's looking ahead and how he wants to get there. It means giving us free will and then having a plan to be able to deal with our sin and our salvation. God, over time, people started going about their business, but they forgot about who God was. So God began revealing himself through this guy named Abraham. If you want to go back, you can read in Genesis 12, where God makes these promises to Abraham that he's going to promise land to Abraham and his descendants. When you're reading about promised land in the Bible, and as we're going through Moses, we're going to be talking about that when we pick Moses back up in the May time frame. We're going to be talking about the promised land. This is it. This is the land that God promised Abraham. He's going to promise land. He's going to turn Abraham into a great nation. So they're going to have land, him and his descendants. Abraham is going to become a nation. And here's the thing I want you to catch a hold of. This is going to come up later. And people will be blessed through Abraham and his descendants. But that's really, behind the scenes, what it is that God wants to do. It's not about just Abraham and his descendants. God says, man, I want to bless the world through you and your people. God begins revealing himself since the beginning of time through Abraham because he's got this mission and vision of where he knows where he wants to go. Abraham's descendants become the nation of Israel. God is taking steps to get to where he wants, and he works through the nation Israel. God builds a nation through this guy named Jacob, who God renames Israel. So even today, we know of the nation Israel. If you didn't connect the dots, oh, by the way, Israel is a guy in the Bible. That's where the nation came from. His descendants become the 12 tribes of Israel. Through Israel, we have Moses. We've been talking about Moses here. God is about to reveal his law through Moses. Right? Why is God doing it that way? Right? God is about to move down the street for the nation of Israel. It's not just going to be, oh, I'm praying to this God that I can't see or don't know who it is. God lives in the tent down the street. Right? He actually shows up. The glory cloud is going to be there. God's saying, hey, when I move down the street, this is how we ought to be living. And God's giving them a heads up. When I move into town, I've got some expectations about how we should be acting. And God reveals his law through Moses. And we'll be reading more about that in that Moses Part 3 sermon series. He revealed his law through Moses and gave it to the nation of Israel. When we look at the history, Israel ended up going like this with the law. And they kind of ended up making it about them and how puffed up and good and powerful that they felt because they were God's chosen ones. But that wasn't really what they were supposed to do. Like going back to Abraham's promises in Genesis 12, and if you read in Deuteronomy 4, the nation of Israel was supposed to be a light for the world. That the world was supposed to be able to see who God was through the nation of Israel. But what happened was Israel's sin got too heavy. And Israel's self-focus got so heavy that they weren't able to carry out this part about being a light anymore. And so God gave us this example, showed us, hey, when you want to hang out with me, there are certain ways we need to behave, right ways. And so the law points out our sin. That's really what this stage is about, revealing, working through the nation of Israel. He's letting us know, hey, you all, just like the nation of Israel, you all are going to fall short of being able to live in right ways. Your free will and your sinful nature is going to get in the way. You know, we do that, right? But so God, that doesn't surprise God, through the Old Testament, He had been promising this Savior, this Messiah. Today we know that person to be Jesus. And Jesus shows up on the scene. Through Jesus, God sends, through Israel, God sends a Messiah, and He's Jesus. That He had been promising that, and the name Messiah means anointed one. The nation of Israel, they were supposed to be a light. Ultimately, they get to be that light, don't they? They get to be that light because Jesus is going to come out from them. They don't all get it at the right time. But ultimately, the Messiah comes from the nation of Israel. Jesus built His church on this whole idea of His being a Messiah. In Matthew, there's this great conversation in Matthew, right? Jesus kind of just opens the conversation. Hey, who do people say that I am? And some people throw out guesses. Peter, God bless him, Peter says, you're the Son of God. You're the Messiah. And Jesus says, yes, that's it. That's it. And it's on this truth I'm going to build my church. So in that moment right there, Jesus affirms, hey, you know what? Something new is about to happen. God has been revealing Himself to the nation of Israel. God is about to reveal Himself through something new, and we're going to call it the church. Not only did Jesus instantiate means to create. I know that showed up in a devotional, and Millie reviews my devotions. I don't even know what instantiate means. Explain that. So it was in there anyway. So, vocabulary day, instantiate means to create. If you're a software programmer, there's a difference between defining an object and instantiating an object. So now we all know where that came from. Woof! Jesus instantiated His church through these 12 guys, and He empowered the church to be a witness. He just didn't say, this is how it should work. He sent His Spirit to empower us to be that witness, to be that light, the thing that God has been wanting to have happen since the beginning of time, because He's trying to draw people into relationship with Himself so that He can spend eternity with them in this place that will be called the New Jerusalem. If you've never done that today, man, let's take today and think about where we are with that. We're most of the way through now talking about what we know about the steps that God's been taking. And there's an eternity that we have an opportunity to spend with God. It happens. We cross that bridge and get written into the Lamb's book of life by putting our faith and trust into what Jesus did for us. Right? We have this free will and our propensity to make poor choices and to sin. But when Jesus came along, He opened the door. Hey, if you can put your faith and trust in me and accept the work that I did for you on the cross. Our sin is in the way, but what Jesus did on the cross pays the price for our sin. That when we put our faith and trust in Him and accept His forgiveness and His leadership in our life, we are forever transformed. We're forever transformed starting today for eternity. We receive His Spirit so that we can begin being this empowered witness that we're talking about here in Acts chapter 1, chapter 2. And then we get to be able to enjoy this time that's described in Revelation 21. If you've never done that before, man, let's make today the day. If that sounds like you, man, please come talk to me after the service. And we'll talk about what the best next steps are. How do I move in that direction? Right? Because I want to be on that boat. What's my plan? The plan starts with putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If you've never done that before today, man, let's make today that day. God has been working towards His mission and vision since the beginning of time. We can see how He's done that through the nation of Israel. We can see how He's done that through Jesus Christ. We can see how He's done that through North Valley Church. I want you to think about it. God has this big mission and vision and plan. We are part of that. And this is the part that just excites me about North Valley Church, that I can see that God's hand has been on it. If you wouldn't mind raising your hand, how many people are here at North Valley Church because they know God prompted them and moved them to be part of this church? Hold your hands up for a second. Man, folks, look around. Look around. This is evidence that God's been at work. Thank you. If you didn't raise your hand, I'm going to challenge you. Maybe this is part of God's plan, and you're just not aware of your role in it yet. That maybe there is something that He's doing, and oh my gosh, I'm part of this bigger thing. And I'm in this room full of people that all see God working. Maybe I'm not here by accident. Maybe it wasn't simply by my own courage to face the ice this morning that I ended up at North Valley Church. Maybe I'm here because God has a plan and He's been inching me along, moving in that direction. And take a moment and allow God to be open. Allow yourself to be open to what God might be letting you know. Hey, this is a plan, and you have a chance to participate in it. We have a mission, a vision, and values. Just like God's got a mission and a vision, North Valley Church does. If you were able to pick up your handy-dandy program, which, by the way, has an official North Valley Church ink pen attached to it. Yeah, let me see. Yep, we are on the map, folks. We have ink pens. It's official. We are a church. This is February 14th. Took a while, but we got there. If you picked up a program, on the back of the program are printed our mission and vision and values. I'm just going to take a moment and read through those. I don't have slides, but they're on your program. Right? We have a mission to empower people by healing, equipping, and commissioning through the grace and truth of Jesus Christ. Our vision is to do those things, empowering people capable of building up other churches, locally, nationally, and globally. That our mission, our vision, our desire isn't necessarily for us to get big. We might get bigger. God may want that. But man, I am so much more excited about how we can impact other churches. I'm going to do it for TikTok. Okay. Mary Mitchell, been making our kids' ministry rock and roll. She started from day zero. She likes to say, I was running the kids' ministry at North Valley Church when we had no kids, right? So when we started back November in 2019, we didn't have any kids. And we didn't have any kids until June, right? Mary Mitchell's been running the kids' ministry since then. She has a passion. She's got history doing camps. She helped with the kids' ministry at Summit Trace. She's leading it here at North Valley. She's part of this networked group of people who make kids ministry happen all over the country, across the borders. There are this group that she's part of. There are people who lead kids ministries in Canada who are networking together to share stuff to be able to understand how we can all do this better. And they're sharing stories and ideas. They are going to have some sort of online conference. Mary Mitchell is on the leadership team to help put that conference together. Yeah. That's what I'm about. That's what I want North Valley Church doing. I just don't want us doing ministry. I want us impacting other churches with ministry. If that means just doing things to support, cool. If that means raising up leaders or quality workers and sending them there, cool. If that means raising up and ordaining a pastor and helping him plant a church, then that's what it means. Right? That's what I want us to be about, locally, nationally, and globally. We've got values, faith, hope, and love. I hope that as we do ministry on a micro and a macro level, that we think about how am we manifesting faith, hope, and love? Are those principles of faith, hope, and love guiding the decisions that we're making? Right? God is working through North Valley Church because I can see it through the people He's called and sent here. I can feel it too through our mission and vision and how it's manifesting itself, even today. And we've got a strategy to keep moving forward. That's what we're going to be doing in about an hour. Is we're going to be sitting in here putting some puzzle pieces to our strategy. We're going to have a brainstorming session. We're going to talk about, I'm gleaning ideas from you all. You know, I could sit down and come up with ideas, but I'm not that creative. I'm more of an engineer than a blank page guy. I got lots of blank page people. I need some ideas. Put the ideas. You guys are going to help me organize those ideas. And we're going to eat pulled pork and chocolate. Right? And hopefully we don't run out of coffee. Right? So, yeah. Well, say that again. Okay. I will go get coffee, okay? So I want you, today is just about, oh my gosh, God has a mission and vision, and we're not getting there by accident. He's got a plan. He's been working His plan. I can see His plan in the Bible from the beginning of time through Israel, through Jesus, and I can see Him working through North Valley Church. Man, there's something big going on. Something big going on. I'd like to ask the band to come back up. And while they do, I would like to ask you to consider, how is God achieving His plan through you? Like, He's been working since the beginning of time. He's working. He worked through the nation of Israel. He's working through Jesus. He's working through this church. How is He working through you? What are the things that God is calling you to do? What are the gifts and abilities He's given you that you can be contributing to this other humongous plan, this other thing that's going on that impacts eternity? We're talking about eternity. Eternity is a very long time. So when we make investments in following God's plan and finding our role in it, man, there's big paybacks for ourselves, big paybacks for the people's lives that we have the opportunity to change. And don't let this opportunity of us using up oxygen with this life, and don't let that go without taking some time and finding your place in God's big plan. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, sometimes when we read the Bible, it's overwhelming. But man, you don't do things by accident. You have had a plan since the beginning of time. Since before then, we can see it unfolding in Your Word. That we can see it unfolding in Your Son. And we can see it unfolding in this church. The individual lives of the people sitting next to us. God, help us be open to Your plan unfolding inside of us. That what it is that You want to accomplish for eternity would unfold inside of us and through us. And that we wouldn't just receive the blessing for ourselves, but that just like You promised through Abraham in the beginning, we would be a light and a blessing to the people around us. In Jesus' name, amen.
stand. We're going to sing together.